What would you say to our Pisces friends out there who either have denied certain aspects of themselves or don't feel super comfortable with aspects of themselves or are overwhelmed by aspects of themselves?
I would say, think about the glyph of Pisces in the two different directions and the fish moving in two different directions. Like, kind of visualize turning towards those parts of yourself. Anything is possible when you do that. Anything. And it's magic. When I was running from myself and like afraid of all those intense feelings, I was doing myself a disservice, and I was out in the world finding those people who wanted to take advantage of my kindness and compassion. And oh boy, did they find me. And when I was able to turn towards myself and work my way below that victim, like the compassion for myself only as a victim versus passion for myself as having an emotional experience. And there's nothing wrong. Everything changed.
My Pisces friends, are you in for a treat today? If you're a Pisces, have a strong Piscean energy in your chart, or love a Pisces and want to understand that person better, then this is the episode for you. Hi there, Astrology Hub family. Amanda here, and I'm thrilled to welcome you back to another episode of our podcast. Following the incredible response we received from our Aquarius poster child episode with my brother, Patrick, we'll link it below, it's clear you all love diving deep into the essence of a zodiac sign through the lived experience of someone who truly embodies it. I loved hearing some of you say that you learned more about Aquarius in the 40-minute interview with Patrick than you have in years of study. And now, as we embrace the mystical vibes of Pisces season, we've decided to continue this journey through the signs. Today, we're exploring the world of Pisces with someone very special from our Inner Circle Expand community, Sue Lucas. Sue has a whopping 9 placements in Pisces. Her Sun, Moon, Mercury, Mars, Saturn, Chiron, Pallas, and Juno are all in Pisces. She embodies the essence of Pisces so beautifully in the story of her life, the work she does, and the person she is, making her the perfect poster child to help us understand the world through a Piscean lens. She's a licensed clinical therapist, clinically licensed Eden Energy medicine practitioner, clairvoyant, medium, and so much more. I can't wait to share her story with you. And to all of our students out there, as you listen to Sue's experiences of life, listen for the Piscean qualities and share what you're noticing in the comments. I can't wait to hear your observations. Before we get started with Sue, I want to share something very exciting with you. Our Inner Circle membership, a community near and dear to both Sue and myself, will be opening its promotional period here very soon. The Inner Circle is the place to use astrology as a way to systematically transform your life. By learning astrology and applying its wisdom in your life month after month, this community becomes your place to find calm in the chaos of life, tune into a deeper sense of meaning, focus your intentions, actions, and daily rituals, and use astrology as a tool for embodied connection with yourself, others, and the universe itself, resulting in more fulfilling relationships and a richer experience of life. And that's what we do together in the Inner Circle. Get on the waitlist now and be the first to know when the promotional period begins. Go to astrologyhub.com/waitlist. We'll also drop that link in the show notes. Sue, it is an honor to have you with us here today. Welcome to the Astrology Hub podcast.
I'm so excited to be here with you, Amanda. I dreamt this up. I actually dreamt this up.
That is amazing. And it's like, it's the first example of one of the gifts of Pisces. So I love that. And I didn't even know that. And that's awesome.
Yeah, I dreamt it right up. I kept listening to the podcast while I was making dinner, and I would like imagine myself on it. And then I would imagine what we would be talking about and how fun it would be. And then the next thing I know, you asked.
Amazing. Amazing. And it's as simple as that, right? Just you were just envisioning it, imagining yourself here and feeling the energy or feeling what you would feel when you're on the podcast, right? Like if someone was like, wow, she just dreamt that up. How do I do that? Is that basically what you did in that moment or for this particular vision?
Yeah. I mean, I literally was feeling it, especially when you were doing the, maybe last year, the specials with like Inner Circle members. I was like, oh, wow, what would we talk about? And then I would think about it. And it was like very real to me. I felt like it was already happening.
Amazing. Okay. Well, this is where we need to enter into the conversation about Pisces, because there is such a gift of Pisces, that Pisces ability to dream things in, to vision for the future, to connect in with the unseen realm before it's here on Earth. And I love that you just brought that in already. So, Sue, tell us about your story. Like, you have an incredible journey. Tell us a little bit about your life and what got you here to this moment.
Well, I have a lot of, you know, I feel everything so deeply. And I think I always have. So I've had like a lot of experiences with, you know, mysticism from a really young age, where I would be, you know, in the woods and suddenly, you know, feeling the plants and the animals. I'm really connected to animals. I just absolutely adore them. But it's really interesting. I was thinking about this when I was in eighth grade. My mom is a saver. She saves everything. She gave me recently this like report, like career report from eighth grade. And it was like being of service. Mm-hmm. I always knew that I wanted to be of service. Like even when I was little, I just wanted to help people and give to them. And, you know, so I immediately ended up being a therapist. Because what better thing to do than someone who feels help people to kind of wade through those deep feelings.
Okay, so I have a lot of questions.
Yes, I hope so.
Because I know you're a therapist, but you're not your average therapist. There's a lot that you bring to your therapy practice. But before we go there, because that's an interesting exploration all in and of itself. And I love that you were in eighth grade just going, I just want to be of service. I just want to help people. Did you ever deny this aspect of yourself? And or did you feel like others denied you because of this deep ability to feel and sense and connect with other realms?
Well, yes. I mean, I thought I was crazy a little. And my mom wasn't really tuned in to that level. So I would sense like when people were telling the truth or the things that they actually didn't say, it would kind of get confused as a young kid. And then for a while I shut it down because I was very emotional. I had some harder experiences. I learned like, it's time to grow up. Don't be a kid. Don't play in the woods with the energy and grow up, get serious and don't feel.
Mm-hmm.
So
I did that. How'd that go for you?
It was terrible. Though I was quite productive. I learned a lot, you know, of concrete things that I need.
Yeah.
I think, you know, to be honest, I was very, very ungrounded and dissociated for most of my life. So it's hard to, you know, it's hard to feel when you're, you know, out there.
Right.
So I think it didn't go that well. And ultimately, I ended up back in graduate school, learning to be a therapist. And then I was like, well, if I'm going to be a therapist and I'm going to walk with people through their emotions, I better get mine in order. So I really took the time to take care of that. And I have been doing that ever since. It's like impossible to stop.
Okay. So you become a therapist and then, and you start to do your own emotional work and kind of cracking whatever armor that you had put up so that you wouldn't feel. I mean, I imagine that you must have had to do it must have taken a lot of effort to not feel.
Yeah. I don't remember that part. I really don't. Because it was like, it was kind of, you know, survival.
Mm.
I'd go out in the world. I was, you know, I'm kind of an awkward human at times. Like, it's really hard to marry these realms. Like, I know so much about what's going on in all these other realms on a very instinctual level, and nobody really talks about it. And so, like, I don't know. It's sometimes hard to talk to people in the world. So I just was an awkward human for a while. Still am sometimes.
Sue, that is so precious. I just, like, you're making me cry. It's so cute to imagine you, like, in conversations with people or having experiences of life, and you're, like, off seeing dimensions and energy and all these amazing things that no one can, not as many people can see, and you have no one to talk about it with. And so you just keep it inside. What about, like, growing up and through this period where we're at in your story, did you have other friends? Did you have mentors? Did you have anyone that you could bounce this part of yourself off of?
No. No. I am an only child, and my mom was really busy working. And, you know, it was a different time in the development of the world. It was just a denser period, and, you know, the energy was denser. It wasn't until I went to energy medicine school, and I was just so depleted from, like, kind of taking on everyone's emotional healing, maybe, that the door opened, and I was like, oh my gosh, I could live here forever. You know, I wasn't aware that all of this stuff was going on. I didn't know I was an empath and I was holding, you know, I was taking on other people's stuff. I didn't know I wasn't feeling, all those feelings weren't mine.
Did you know anything about astrology at this point? Like, did you know any, like, that you were a Pisces and Pisces are sort of like this or prone to, you know, did you have any concept of this yet?
I knew I was a Pisces, but, you know, the extent of it is like reading your horoscope in the newspaper.
Right.
And I was like, that doesn't really fit me.
Ah, interesting. Okay. So you go to Omega Institute, right? To this Eden Energy, like a workshop or something? Is that what it was?
Month-long intensive training where we lived there. And all day long, we did energy work. And just like, I was with like 12 people continuously, ate great food, didn't go on technology, didn't drive. Went in the woods, and I mean, I don't like, I'm not someone who wants to do hands-on energy work. That's too close to me. Like, I can't stop absorbing energy if I'm touching someone for a long, like a, you know, for a long period of time. But it just blew open all the doors. And then I was like, oh my gosh, I could do anything with this. Like, anything. I can feel the energy of a rock, could talk to it. Like, I can write a class about it. I could get messages from it. It was just so fun. So fun.
Wow. Okay. So we went on to become a licensed practitioner of this energy approach, this energetic medicine, essentially, right?
Yeah.
I want to talk about what it feels like to be so empathic, and also something you said earlier about being so disassociated and ungrounded the first part of your life. But let's just sort of throw all the cards on the table first and just talk about, you know, all the different avenues you've explored in the cultivation of the different gifts that you have. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you introduced me to the teacher that I learned from, and I studied that for a while. It was also a real, like, when I had my first clairvoyant reading, energy reading, I kind of felt like she really, like, saw me in a way that I never had even seen myself. And the same goes for astrology. It was kind of like, she said, I don't know how you made it through school as a kid. And I was like, oh, really? Why? And she's like, you are just like so sensitive. And it struck this chord in me that, I used to stay home like from school a lot, like for a week at a time. And my mom would think, I would tell her I was sick and she'd be like, okay. But I wasn't.
What do you wish your mom knew about you? I'm just thinking of right now, like parents that have a Pisces, like a child with strong Piscean energy. What would have been really supportive for you?
I wish there was a better way for her to have been attuned to my emotional sensitivity in a way that was non-judgmental. She wasn't able to be attuned to that. She's a Gemini with very like nourished by information. She's lovely. I would have liked for her to have been able to say, I have this child who's very sensitive and I want to learn how to support her to grow up in a healthy way.
Sweet little Sue. Okay. Let's talk about the ability for Pisces to feel everything and everyone. How do you handle that now? And what's been the journey for you to get here?
It's kind of tricky, you know. I both feel everything deeply, and sometimes I just feel nothing. I have to shut it off completely.
Whoa.
And if it happens intentionally, then it's easier for me to get back to being able to feel. But if it happens like without my awareness, then it'll take me some time to kind of pull myself back into my body.
So if it happens with your awareness that you're taking something on that isn't yours, it's easier. If you take something on but don't realize till later that you did that, then it's harder. Am I saying that right?
Yes, but also just even the shutting down.
Right.
But I can intentionally say like enough already. Like I'm full. Mm-hmm. Not anymore. It's time to watch Netflix.
And do you see that as kind of a necessary capability for yourself, not necessarily a bad thing, just something that you need to do for yourself from time to time?
Yeah.
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 And have you ever had a period of time where you did that in a way that wasn't healthy, in your opinion?
Yes. A lot. I did it a lot. I mean, my whole adolescence all the way through till I was maybe 30.
So what, like, give us some examples of ways that you would shut off then.
I just was always shut off. I mean, yes and no. You're never really totally shut off, but, you know, I was just trying to do more than be. And I mean, I had my children when I was young. I was 22 when I had my son. I didn't have any friends who were having kids. I didn't know what I was doing. So I was just trying to be a good mom. Good wife and a good daughter and a good family member. And I didn't realize that. And I was giving to everyone else. But I didn't realize that I wasn't really feeling my own essence. And, you know, when I was 30, just about 30, I graduated from grad school. So I was, you know, then I was in therapy, like kind of feeling, and had a significant loss at that time that really broke me open. And everything, all the grief came spilling out. And it was such a strange paradox for me because I never felt more alive than when that person I loved and adored was dying. And that felt like really, I felt really guilty about that. But it was just the feeling of emotion that was I was connecting to that had been stored inside of me that was just emptying me out. Now when I'm back.
Yeah, it's like it was culturally appropriate for you to be feeling in that moment. So you allowed yourself to, which made you feel more alive, but then also sort of guilty about.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And that was one of the first experiences when it was my stepfather. And when he was dying, the night before he died, this was what woke up. Now that I'm thinking of this, this woke up something in me, his death. I emptied out all that emotion. I connected with it. And the night he was dying, we were in the hospital. My mom, it's going to be hard for me not to cry, but my mom, she had been there for 2 days straight. And I said, why don't you go home and just take a shower or something? I'll stay. And my stepfather was in a coma at that point. And I remember saying, this like sitting next to his bed and saying to myself and him, like, I'm so sad that I'm never going to get to talk to you again. And because I knew he was going to die soon. And I fell asleep with my head like over the railing and I was like on top of his little arm there. And I had this dream while I was asleep next to him and it was him. And he was telling me, like, I don't remember much of what he said other than, I'm going to die tonight, so make sure everybody comes. And he told me how much he loved me. And I got that dose of that spirit love, like that big love, that unconditional love, that how loved I was by him and my spirit in general. And I woke up and I, like, knew how loved I was. And I did what he asked. It was the most beautiful, if that's possible to say, the most beautiful death they've ever been to. Like, everyone was there. Everyone was loving him. We were sending him off, like, with so much love.
Feels about to cry.
It's emotional.
Wow. So you just feel a lot. Yeah. I mean, like, you feel, you sense, you're tuned in. And does it feel at this point like it's a gift? Or does it feel like, how does it feel for you to be so feeling?
It's been a journey with that for sure. You know, sometimes I look at my chart and I go, you know, Pisces. And sometimes I look, why me? You know, but it also is a gift. Like, I'm very well aware that I chose this chart and there's some really strong things I'm here to do. And it's a strength and the emotional, the depth of emotion that I can tune into, it keeps expanding. Like, I think I get somewhere and I'm like, okay, I'm here. And then boom, like something else comes in and I'm like, whoa, I can feel that too. And, you know, it doesn't always feel pleasant. It really doesn't. It can be painful. Those initiations can be quite painful. And uncomfortable, but I'm always aware that the other piece of this, I think that's really important is, and I don't know if this is all Pisces people, but I have this drive to transform. Like, I can, every situation, to be honest, I can't watch Netflix without being like, I know that's like this, and this is happening inside of me. And like, I, that's my thread I'm following. And I got to go all the way in, like, I'm not stopping until I transform all these different things that are actually not me inside of me.
So even when you're watching Netflix, it's like, there's a transformational opportunity here. There's an ability here for me to alchemize these emotions within my body. Okay, I want to ask you about grounding, because that's another thing that, you know, we hear, and I don't think I have any Pisces in my chart. I mean, of course I have a Pisces house, but like, I don't have any placements in Pisces. So I'm fascinated. I love learning about you through your lens. Grounding. And you mentioned earlier that it's hard for you to be grounded. What have you learned about grounding through your path? And how do you do it now? Like, how do you actually mindfully do it?
Well, it's really interesting. You know, I was listening to one of your shows where you were talking to the two psychologists and the body, and how a lot of people will get into things, spirituality, through the body first. And for me, it's last. I was like, well, that doesn't work that way for me. I've spent the first 50 years of my life out in the cosmos, like doing God knows what, a goddess knows what. I was learning and learning and learning and learning, not all of it conscious. But I have so many friends out there.
Wow.
And at a certain point, it became dangerous for me to keep doing that, because I was not in my body. And my body was like driving the car without anybody at home. And I had a couple of traumas. And one of them in particular, I was physically, of course, this is a very Piscean trauma. I got sucked into a hot tub vent at a spa and stuck there, like a big hot tub vent. It just pulled me back with so much force. And then I got stuck on it while it sucked me in. And I remember sitting there going, all right, I give. I'll work on it. I'll work on it. I'll get in my body. I promise. And then that moment, I vowed to, and I stopped going out into the cosmos to kind of get high on energy. That's what it felt like. Escape all this stuff going on inside of me. And really, I couldn't do any energy work, any channeling. It wasn't safe to do that for me for a number of years. The accident happened in 2019, and it was only maybe a year or two ago that I was able to like be in my body while I did everything. But the trauma was like such a transformative experience, and of course very Piscean eighth house kind of stuff. So I just said, like, I really need to, like, to, you know, feel my body, like, be grateful for my body, feed it, pay attention, intentionally walk on the ground. I love the woods. So that's my thing. I've since started, like, mushroom foraging, wild mushrooms. Love to forage mushrooms safely and make food with them. But I have to go with someone who knows what they're doing, because I'm afraid that I might poison myself.
I'm sure. So you walk on the ground. What else do you do to stay in your body at this point?
Well, I meditate every morning, but I make sure that I'm sitting on the ground and I'm touching the ground. When I do a class where I teach a class for people, I'm always sitting on the ground. I can't sit in a chair. Sit on the ground.
So you're literally grounding with the ground. Like, it's not just a term. Like, you actually are on the ground, touching the ground, in the Earth's field in order to anchor yourself here.
Yeah. I think the other piece that keeps me grounded is tending to my emotions. You know, it's very unpleasant in the body if you have all these repressed and stored emotions that it's almost like you can't come in because there's blockages if you're not dealing with your emotions. So I really tend to them. The attunement I was talking about that I wish my mom had, I do for me now.
What would you list as the greatest gifts of this whopping 9 planets in Pisces? Like what would you list as your, like, this is a gift, this is a gift, this is a gift, which things?
Gosh, it's all a gift, really. Really, even the trauma. But you know, what do I love? Like the magic, like the ability to tune into magic at any moment, to know, like I have so many memories of past lives that like filter through me and kind of reverberate. And it's like, wow, like I really feel all of them at the same time. And, you know, I can, if I want to connect with Venus, for example, I just put my hand out. And, you know, I have to create the space for her, especially Venus. You know, she wants a certain type of space. But thank goodness for having a Venus in Capricorn, honestly. She really is my like core grounding. But if I want to connect with any type of energy, I can do it like that.
And what does that do for you besides be fascinating endlessly? What is that? How has that helped you serve that eighth grade dream? How has that helped you serve?
Well, I mean, a really concrete example is I do a lot of inner child and shadow work with people. And I will take them through processes where I can see. And sometimes I think, oh, am I making this up? But I can see their inner child is actually doing. And I can feel what that child is feeling in them. And a lot of I don't say that in the process unless they say it first. So I'll suggest, you know, they might be feeling this or they might be feeling that or they might not be feeling any of that. I don't want to like lead anyone anywhere, but I want them to feel whatever they're feeling. But a lot of times what will happen is afterwards they'll share that we both saw the same thing at the same time. Mm-hmm. You know, those realms, one of my energy medicine teachers used to call the imagination the nation of imagining. And that you can do any type of healing. And this, I believe, like so much. You can do any type of, I even like the word healing. Any type of reconnection and becoming more and more whole by in your imagination, going back to that child who felt so alone and being like, you're not alone. You never were alone. Everything that happened happened for you. And I'm here now. I'm going to be, it's like the adult that I am can turn towards that part of me that's hurting or alone and just give to her.
Beautiful. Have you ever felt misunderstood? And if so, I mean, I know you did by your mom on many levels, but like just by the world, by people in your life, have you felt misunderstood? And what do you wish they knew about you?
Yeah, I have felt very misunderstood. Overly sensitive. And, you know, I think I was the keeper of emotionality in my family. So like I was the only one emoting and everyone else was shut down. So in general, I think that most people who, and I have, it's kind of ironic, like I have a ton of clients who have Pisces moons. You know, I cause the Pisces moon peeps. It's like a real, it's a thing. Like,
yeah.
You know, people are like, oh my gosh, that planet. Yeah, I'll be like, that's the Pisces moon. I really feel like it's a significant undertaking to become a Pisces, maybe kind of like a Scorpio. All the signs really, but there's a depth that you have to have, and you're going to go through some initiations, a lot of things maybe that are going to take you down, like under the ocean. And you might stay there for a while. But I'm able to manage that, or I wouldn't be doing it. I think the misunderstanding is that my compassion, my sensitivity is a weakness.
Mm.
Actually, exactly the opposite. I might be quiet. I might be caring. I might be able to give to someone who has pushed me around and bullied me. But they don't get to have power over me. That's what I've been learning in my 50s. That I'm actually transforming something so big. And I feel like it's the, you know, that victim, like the Piscean, like victim thing, martyr thing, right? People have looked at me and been like, oh my God, you've been through so much. Another one, like, you're such a victim. And I have been victim to things, but I'm really working that thread like nobody's business. I'm not going to be a victim just because things have happened to me that have put me in that position.
What would you say to our Pisces friends out there who either have denied certain aspects of themselves or don't feel super comfortable with aspects of themselves or are overwhelmed by aspects of themselves? What would you say to them?
Yeah, the overwhelm is real. I would say, you know, think about the glyph of Pisces in the two different directions and the fish moving in two different directions. Like kind of visualize turning towards those parts of yourself. Anything is possible when you do that. Anything. And it's magic. It's like a lot of this is between me and me. And me and all the different parts of me, of which there are so many, and they're very interesting. I could be inside of myself for a really long time and have a lot of fun in there. It's very interesting and kind of wild. But when I was running from myself and like afraid of all those intense feelings, I was doing myself a disservice, and I was out in the world finding those people who wanted to take advantage of my kindness and compassion. And oh boy, did they find me. Mm-hmm. And when I was able to turn towards myself and work my way below that victim, like the compassion for myself only as a victim, mm-hmm. versus passion for myself as having an emotional experience and there's nothing wrong. Everything changed. Just turn towards yourself. Because we Pisces people, like I have a direct line to that big love. And I feel it.
You've used the term big love several times. What is that to you?
Kind of hard to define. It's like not our societal version of like love, you know, even parental love is small compared to it, though it's not small. It's just connecting to all. Being a part of everything and knowing that all of that is love, really feeling what it feels like. I did a shamanic journey where I journeyed to myself in the womb. And I ended up before I like kind of went down and into the womb, feeling myself choosing my parents. And the feeling that I had was like, I just loved them so much that I wanted to be in their life. And then I loved everything so much. It was just like, wow. So that's what that big love feels like.
Oh, beautiful. Sue, yeah. If you had a microphone and you were the mouthpiece for the Piscean message for the world, and you, this microphone would reach the entire planet with whatever you wanted to say, what would your message be?
I'm going to try to get the feeling of that first. I mean, I would say the message I consistently get for myself and for other people is that if you could simply see, if you could really see who you are, who you truly are, you would know in every cell in your body that you are luminescent magnificence. And just absolute, it's like, I don't know, liquid metal in motion, which is like this love.
Hey, you've officially succeeded in making me cry.
No, we roll tears. Oh, man, this is so good. Sue,
I love having this experience of the world through your energy, through your lens, through your perspective. I'm marveling, too, at, you know, we had my brother on as the Aquarian poster child. The contrast, it's like, oh, my God, you know, his, but love at the foundation and basis of everything still, but with just that different filter. Like, he has the Aquarian filter going. You have this Pisces filter going, but it's still all about love. Like, wow, amazing, beautiful. Thank you. How has the inner circle influenced your journey? I've never actually gotten to ask you this question, and I would love to know.
Oh my gosh, astrology in general, I think, saved my life. Like, I was going down under the ocean, and I wasn't coming back up. Mm. And when I started to work with the moon cycles, I realized, like, oh my gosh, this is... whether I'm, you know, I started to transform really, really consistently, focusedly. Like, I didn't lose my thread at all. I didn't, like, you know, find another shiny object and go to it. I stayed with it. And then, you know, different readings that I had really, really helped me just see who I am and appreciate who I am, and that I'm here to, like, kind of step ahead and walk beside people as they transform this real victim thing. Gotta get off of that, because we're victimizing, unconsciously victimizing other people, including our planet. And I mean, what better sign than this 9 Pisces to do this? But the inner circle and the community to be able to talk about it and see other people talking about it and have that attunement to even you, like, just this idea that astrology is the natural world. And, like, I've seen that, like, where Earth weaves with the cosmos and back and forth. And, you know, it's all, like, I have to really be in that energy. And everything that gets offered, it's just amazing. Like, the variety, the multitude, the ability to talk astrology at any time. I love it.
Mm. So happy to hear that. And so happy to hear that the consistency, the rhythm, it helped you create a thread of constant transformation in your life. And that is truly, to me, one of the biggest gifts of working with astrology. Yes, knowing our charts. Yes, knowing our individuality. Yes, knowing timing and what's happening for us personally at different moments in time. And of course, the Capricorn in me loves the structure of it all. It gives us the container for which to explore these things in a clear, organized, consistent, like without fail. That structure is there to catch us when we fall. Like you're talking about in the ocean, you were drowning, you were going down. And just it can pick us up, buoy us up so that we can see with a different vantage point and have that rhythmic reminder to come back to ourselves. Come back to yourself. Come back in. So thank you for that reflection. I'm so happy to hear that's been your experience. So happy that we've played a role in your journey at all. So I, just so you all know, I knew Sue before I knew astrology. Back in my New York days. And so I would observe these things about Sue, but I didn't know anything about astrology. I didn't know anything about Pisces. I didn't know anything about your chart. I didn't know anything. But when I found out you were a Pisces, I went, that just makes so much sense. It just everything came together. I was like, oh yes, of course. That's exactly what I'm feeling in her, is that real deep, beautiful, ethereal, sort of whimsical Piscean energy. And so it's like a very full circle moment for me here to be able to have you here, to be like kind of going in deeper and understanding you more and then being able to share that with our community. So thank you. Thank you.
It's same for me, you know, that grounding that we did before just brought me back to, like, you know, when we knew each other in another circle.
Yes.
Gosh, you are such an important part of my life. Always back then, really directly, like interacting ones. And since, you know, and you brought me to Hawaii.
Amazing. Well, it's incredible the way we weave in and out of people's lives and our stories intersect. And Sue, I'm just so grateful that you've been here to do this with us today. I hope it has been as fun as your dream, and that we have more opportunity. And for those of you who've been listening, if you like this poster child series that we've started, please let us know in the comments. I personally love it. And I had this vision as you were speaking, Sue. I was like, ooh, at the end of the year, I want to put each poster child up, like your pictures up next to your sign, just as these beautiful embodiments of the energy. The other thing is, I had certain signs in mind and I had people, like my brother and Sue were easy, but I don't have that for every sign. So if you know people in your life that are oh my God, that's the Aries poster child. And preferably not astrologers necessarily. They can be students, they can be in the inner circle, all that. That's great. But I'd like to be speaking to people who are these things and don't even necessarily know, you know, they're living it, they're breathing it. That is their experience of life. Not necessary, but of course I know Rick Levine has a bazillion planets in Aries. So he would be obvious, but I would rather choose someone that isn't as steeped in the astrology. So if you know poster children, please put them in the chat. Put it up. You can email us at support@astrologyhub.com. We are going to create a form. So if you want to nominate someone as a poster child for a certain zodiac sign, we will have a form and we'll have a more systematic way for you to nominate people. But for now, put it in the comments, send us an email. I'm on the hunt for poster children. All right. Thank you so much, Sue. You are such a gift, such a blessing. Thank you for everything that you've shared with us here today. Precious. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thanks to all of you for tuning in. Thank you for being a part of our community. Thank you for making astrology a part of your life. I hope that it lifts you up in a similar way that it has for Sue, that it has for me, that it has had for so many of our community members. Thank you for being a part of our community. If you're interested in checking out the Inner Circle, make sure you get on the wait list. astrologyhub.com/waitlist. The promotional period is opening up here very soon, and we would love to have you. So stay tuned for more information on that. And in the meantime, take care. I'll look forward to connecting with you on the next episode.
This podcast is presented by Astrology Hub. You can learn more and find all of our shows at astrologyhub.com/podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate, review, and hit subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so you can stay up to date on the latest episodes and help more people find the wisdom of astrology. Thank you for taking the time to do this now. Thank you for being a part of our community and for making astrology a part of your life.